Hey, join me in prayer if you would. Our Father in heaven, and we do address you as our Father, and we do pray to you. And we know that at your right hand is Jesus Christ, sitting, standing, cheering, whatever he's doing right now. Just grateful to be able to come before you in your presence, and thank you for your calling. We don't take that for granted. We're so grateful for that and opening our minds to your truth. Father, in this world, it's important. It is the prince of the power of the air is the Lord of this world of Satan, but we live in it. And it's so important that, as Paul said, we bring every thought into captivity of Christ. And to have that mind of Christ, Father, we need to accentuate the positive and really look on the blessing and the good things that we're able to be partaking of and living. And the fact that we're breathing and living and being able to connect tonight is awesome. So we ask for your spirit to penetrate our hearts and minds, to soften us, and to help us not to become bitter, angry, worried, unsettled. But just realize that, as I discussed on Sabbath, we really don't have a lot of control over much of anything. But we do have our own hearts and minds in our relationship with you. And to be able to live as examples for the world, Father, we must be representing you and your Son, Jesus Christ, as ambassadors. So we pray your Spirit to help us, encourage us, lift us up, and be with those that suffer in various different things that they deal with. And just inspire, please, the teaching and the listening and the interaction, if we have any tonight, to that would be edifying, uplifting, and show you all the praise and honor and glory you deserve. So we ask your presence. Please stay the hand of our adversary and his minions, that we might have peace and pursue it with all understanding. And we just again thank you and praise you and ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I suppose I ought to let you see me. I'm not hiding, but I wore this shirt for Eric. This is what color and brightness is, Eric. So, anyway, I'm just picking on Eric because I can't. I don't get to talk to him very much anymore. This new job, he's busy. That's good. So, we finished up the Minor Prophets, and some of you ask about the test that I said I had. Well, it wasn't completed because there was one person that vociferously did not want to have a test and who will remain nameless. But I didn't finish that test completely, and so I don't have it available to send out to everybody. But some of you have asked about that. I'm not ignoring your email. I'm just trying to stay ahead of the curve, if you will. So tonight, what we're going to do, and I think this will take at least two, maybe three sessions if I talk fast. We're moving from the minor prophets to the former prophets. And those former prophets, most people have at some point in their religious Christian lives have read, but not all. And what never ceases to amaze me is in the body of Christ, the church, if you want to call it that, the ecclesia, those that have been called out, how many people say, I've never read the book of Judges or Samuel or Kings or Joshua. So I want to take a couple, three sessions to go through an overview, an outline in the whole gamut, if you will, of the former prophets. One of the things that's interesting, and I want to read a quote to you, so I get it exactly right, because I've known to misquote things by accident. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. I gave a sermon message on this. I forget how long ago. You can find it on the website. George Santayana, in The Life of Reason in 1905, a philosopher, wrote, again, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. How often have we heard various ways of saying it, that history repeats itself? Time and time again, I've heard that. And the Old Testament, what's interesting, is divided into three main sections. I move a lot now because trying to get comfortable, so you have to bear with me. I grunt a little bit and wheeze and whine. The three main sections, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms or the writings. You can also reference that in Luke chapter 24, verse 44. And again, when I mention scriptures, if I don't turn to it, that means you need to write it down and look it up later if you would. If not, you can always go back and listen to this recording. We post them a couple hours afterwards. And the prophets include what are classified as the major and the minor prophets, and there are also the former prophets, comprised, as I've already said, the biblical books of Joshua, Judges, 1st and 2nd Samuel, and 1st and 2nd Kings. Originally, here's some history. It was just two books, Joshua slash Judges and the Book of Kings. But they're all tied together. And we, as God's children, need to understand them individually and then as one prophetic unit. And what's interesting that you'll find as we go through this, and I'm going to encourage you, because I'm going to take a little different approach. I may not go through every single verse like I did the minor prophets. I may pick out highlights and give an overview of the book and some lessons learned from it. What I'm going to suggest when we get into the actual books, and you'll know because I'll let you know, is to read ahead a few chapters. It will encourage you to do some Bible study by reading in those areas. That will help me a lot. I've often mentioned to folks before services on the Sabbath or holy days, ask God to inspire the speakers and inspire your listening. Otherwise, you're just showing up and, you might get something out of it, you might not. These books that we're going to be going over record a broad spectrum, like sweeping the kitchen floor. It's one big sweep of the nation of Israel, the history of the nation of Israel. From the time the Israelites entered the promised land under the leadership of Joshua until, as we'll go through, the two parts of the divided kingdom, Israel and Judah, were conquered and taken into captivity. There is, to me, a special, unique, gifted message in the former prophets. There's a lot of history. But they're called former prophets for a reason. The word former in this specific application simply means they are the earlier prophets. These books were written by prophets, inspired by God, and are filled also with end-time prophecy, which everybody seems to be concentrating now in most of the religious sectors. The messages specifically, though, in the books of Joshua and Judges, those are also unique. If nations that exist today would follow Joshua's way, if you want to call it that, then things would go well for them. The nations would have to look to Moses and the law of God, as we read in one of the last minor prophets, if you remember. Now, on the other hand, if the modern nations of Israel, and I'm not going to get into the weeds on that with all these specifics like some people like to do and some churches like to do, but the modern nations of Israel chose to live as Israel did during the time of the judges. You remember this quote, "Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Then there would be disaster. And the books of Joshua and Judges, again, we're talking about the whole gamut, the whole former prophets, contain prophecy of how we either will succeed or fail. I don't want to sound like I'm bragging or I'm really intelligent, because I'm really not. But I can tell you this, I could fix this nation's problems in a heartbeat. And so could you. If we told them what to do based on God's word. The books of Kings and Samuel Here's what's interesting, and this we're going to talk about at the Feast of Tabernacles again. Teach us how to be kings and priests. You don't hear a lot about that anymore. If people today followed the books of Kings and Samuel only, and of course with Joshua and Judges, our nations would not be in this stupid mess we are in today. These books record how to succeed or fail as God's nation. And it's a blazing witness. It's just like a beeping red light that if a nation goes the same way as ancient Israel, everything's going to fall apart. Remember what I said with the quote at the beginning, that those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. And so, how much more do these former prophets apply to God's people? The former prophets contain critical prophetic understanding for God's people today. That's why we're studying it, by the way. Not just to have knowledge and be puffed up and, well, you know what we know that you don't. No. They will teach us as we go through. We're going to see this, why a large number of God's people have rejected him over the years. And they'll also prepare each one of us and collectively to help with Christ lay what I call a spiritual foundation when he ushers in what? The wonderful world tomorrow. Now, I once had a discussion with someone who said, well, these books are only historical. Traditional Christianity, that's kind of a blanket cover, but, and even many of God's people say that the former prophets contain primarily or only history. So what they're saying when you make that statement, that these books are limited value for us. That reasoning is spiritually on a slippery slope, in my opinion. If you describe the former prophets, if I were to say to you they are strictly history, that actually ultimately can damage people's faith. So there's a lot more to these books than just history. They contain, and we're going to go through and see some of many of these critical, really intricate spiritual lessons that you and I need to understand. They're going to teach us about how to be a proper leader. Frankly, the examples I've seen over the decades in the church at every level of leadership-wise, we need more than a Dale Carnegie course. We need some help. We need a change of direction of what real leadership is. These books will teach us that. They'll teach us on the former prophets will teach us how to build faith. And here's the part I love when we go through this as I've been preparing again. They give instruction specifically pointed directly to how to serve others. Novel thought. Instead of serving ourselves, I just wrote a letter. It's up on the website for the 4th of July, entitled One Nation Under God. You might find it interesting. It may upset some because I tackle patriotism head on to show the problem with it. And so many authorities of in and out of God's people will tell you that history, what's happened in the past, is usually the most effective teacher. Have you ever said this thing, the comment you've said, hindsight's 20/20? You got perfect vision looking behind at what you've done, the mistakes you've made, right? There's a lot of truth. Napoleon Bonaparte, if you remember that man, said, if you want to be a great leader, a great general, you have to study those great leaders and generals of the past. I think that's good advice for you and me as well, especially spiritually. And History from God's Word, the Bible, is the greatest history of all because it's God's history. And I like to call some of the people that we're going to read about in these books of the former prophets as spiritual warriors. Not spirit warriors, but spiritual warriors. We need to learn, you and I, about Joshua and Samuel. We'll read about and learn about David, who, best of my knowledge, has the longest, the one of the greatest biographies in the Bible. We can see as we go through how Saul failed, even though God gave him an incredible opportunity, blew it. And we're going to learn about, as I've talked, some of you know, I've talked about 1 Kings 18 and 19 and the prophets of Baal and the Mount Carmel thing. We need to know more about Elijah and Elisha. Some don't even know the difference. Somebody said, there's somebody else besides Elijah? Yeah, there's Elisha. Oh, that's just a different pronunciation of Elijah in Hebrew. No. What were these leaders? Why did God record things? And so he said, we must learn from our history. And here's the interesting part. It's also a history that is also, ironically and incredibly prophetic. And so there's some direct prophecies within the former prophets, ones that we would call pivotal, especially for the time we live in. And we're going to go through over the next, I think this is going to take about a year, to see directly, to study very direct prophetic things mentioned for today, 2025. Now, the other thing is the former prophets is also, it gives us what I call kind of indirect prophecies too. Yeah, this recorded history, but in most cases, as we'll go through and you'll see this, it's going to jump out at you. It also becomes prophecy. It'll show how the state of religion and worship in ancient Israel revealed the state of the nation. We saw that in the Minor Prophets. So we're going to have identical, the same, or very, very similar religious problems today. And we do. And it's quite obvious. And so we're going to have what, like I said, an indirect prophecy of what's happening in the end time nations of Israel, which are in part America and Britain. And if we live, and this recording goes public, and I am always amazed at who all listens to these, because I get some correspondence and people that sign up for our YouTube channel and ask questions, sometimes call, but mostly prefer texting, which I don't, or email. But they ask questions. So I know that this falls on, it's not just, I'm not preaching to a given fellowship of people. All of you here are not all part of, for lack of a better thing, CGM or any other acronym. And that's fine. I have no problem with that. In fact, I encourage that. But the same of what's happening is going to happen to the nation we live in. And if we live the same lifestyles as our forefathers did, what's going to happen? You're going to have the same results, either good or bad. And so, in a sense, history then becomes prophetic. Now, not all prophecy is history, but a lot of history becomes prophecy. We'll see that in these books. One of the things that we read in history and is prophetic is the fate of the nations, whether they will thrive or collapse. This is why I'm not trying to be negative or make fun of anyone or their intent. This is not a judgment, it's just a statement. There is nothing this current president can do that's going to, short of having getting this nation to repent, going to change what's going to happen to the United States of America. There is what is called a law of history. It's not about time and chance or luck or happenstance. If we break God's law, we will be broken. If we reject our history, we will not accept Bible prophecy. And what does that mean? This is why Christ has to return to make war. It means God needs to punish. And the instruments God will use are listed throughout his word. I am saddened at the leaders of this nation and other countries that are utterly, when they talk about World War II history that cost 50 million lives, it's like, oh, well, it happened. And their contempt of history is sad. But what's even worse is that our religious leaders have forgotten our spiritual history. We're facing that again within the Church of God, and we're facing it within our own nation and all the nations of the world. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to read God's word and realize that when the nations that were young boys in the family hated each other as kids, now they've grown into nations in the Middle East. It's not hard to figure out. But yet, for some reason, we can't. America, Britain, the Jewish people in the Middle East are all a part of biblical Israel. And what's interesting is reading your word, God's word, the Israelites were the only people who ever had a history with God. Did the Amalekites? Did the Amorites? Did the Jebusites and the Hivites and the mosquito bites and the dog bites? No. All the bites? No, it was the Israelites. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, and I quote, it says, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples. They are written for what? Our, your and my admonition. Upon whom the ends of the world are come." So this entire history, and this is what we're going to read to the former prophets, was recorded for our instruction. The lessons that we're going to read about were written for what? For you and for me. So we can't just call them history. Some commentaries describe the former prophets as descending partly from oral tradition. That's dangerous. Because oral tradition could be almost anything. In fact, the great church that was recently referred to, I think it was Joe Myers, one of his messages, that's in Rome, where the Vatican is, says tradition eclipses the Bible in authority. That is human reasoning, folks. And even within the confines of the Church of God, we need to not completely or very much rely on oral tradition. I'm getting old enough and had enough surgeries that I can't rely on my memory like I used to be able to. And in this end time that we live, or this moving toward the end time, a large number of God's people are slipping and sliding because they failed to follow God's word and they followed men and leadership of men. Who was it, do you remember, that said, Follow me as I follow Christ. Yeah, but if he's not following Christ, no big deal. God will fix it. That's our go-to answer. That's not going to cut it. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5, it says clearly, God reveals only to his prophets and apostles. In Ephesians 2:20, that it's all built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And I've told you the story about that individual with the chief cornerstone. God revealed prophecy through prophets in the Old Testament. And prophets, I think you would agree, wrote the book of the former prophets. And those prophets, as they had this recorded, were the most outstanding fellows that you can imagine in the work they did for God. Much of the content in the former prophets that we're going to be going through is about prophets that was written by prophets. And so I think we can call it prophetic history. I was taught years ago, almost 40 years ago now, or 40 years ago, that Isaiah had a big part in the production, the epic production, if you want to call it. That's a word people love, epic of the Bible. But I tend to lean toward the actual orchestrator was Jeremiah, though there were agreed other writers involved. But the most important thing is what? These authors, God breathed through them. They were inspired by him. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 25, Christ spoke some strong words of condemnation. He said, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Do you believe all the prophets have spoken?" And Christ called these people fools for failing to do so. Okay, what prophets was he talking about? What was Christ talking about? Verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he went all the way back to the Pentateuch and then the former prophets. And Christ was really condemning of those people for not understanding what was in those books, including the former prophets. So I think that behooves you and me to learn everything we can about these books and everything in the Word of God that He leads us to understand. And that's why you should never stop growing in grace and knowledge. Not to puff up, but to grow and to change and to become a new creation. You have to study to find out what needs changed. It's like the old story of this guy had a big hunk of clay and he had all these examples around him. He made elephants. And someone said, "How do you do that?" He said, "It's real easy. I just take everything in that piece of clay that doesn't look like an elephant and I get rid of it." So if we want to look like our father and his son, what do we have to do? We have to chip away and get rid of all the things that don't look like them, meaning their character, not what they look like. And so we need to be learning. We don't want Christ calling us fools, or like Mr. P.T. would say, "I pity the fool." God wants us to be educated people in the Word of God. Some of us have degrees and certifications and all kinds of things. That's great. I know that Clark Biller has a ham operator's license, or did. I think he does. That takes studying. Joe and Eric, to do what they do, have certification. Bill Garrett, for what he does. And so it's really important that we keep learning the Word of God. So again, the former prophets are mostly prophetic. They contain spiritual history that is primarily for you and me today. God inspired God inspired these books mainly for today before Christ's second coming. The more I study God's word, and the more I study the minor prophets, I am compelled to say I believe these books are specifically for God's called out ones, the ecclesia. Now, we understand parts of it, but you and I need to understand it better. And God continues as we yield to Him to add more to our knowledge all the time. We're never going to understand the lessons God wants us to teach if we don't understand and don't study the former prophets. But what I've learned with my own self and many others, we don't always listen to the warnings that God gives us. And if we don't, what's going to happen? If we don't learn these lessons that have been recorded for us, I want to talk about the source of the former prophets. God ensured the material in the former prophets that it was recorded and preserved mainly so we could understand it today. Those of us in the Church of God, the Ecclesia. At the time that leads directly to the coming, the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Messiah, it hasn't always been understood to the degree that it should be. And as I watch things unfold in the world and the nation, you can't help but say, wow, a lot of what we've studied and are studying is for us now. But here's the other caveat that I want us to seriously listen to and think about. And I believe we are sorely missing this. We need to get prepared to teach the former prophets to the entire world and God's word in general. It took a lot of intensive study and inspiration by the writers to collect this instruction that would be helpful for us. In discussing the Book of Kings, the Cambridge Bible says this: the compiler specified three sources from which the narrative is drawn. The Book of the Acts of Solomon, that's from 1 Kings 11:41, as the authority for Solomon's reign. Number two, the Book of Chronicles of the Kings of Judah, which is mentioned 15 times. And number three, the Book of Chronicles of the Kings of Israel, quoted 17 times in Kings. The writers and the compilers of the former prophets had many written sources, not just oral tradition. They had to deeply study the books and the history of the prophets in order to put it all together in the manner that God desired. We can learn more about these sources if you compare the history in the former prophets, and I have a book, it's on the desk behind me. I can't get up easily, or I would. Which is recorded in the Book of Chronicles. Here's what the Cambridge Bible notes about that. The Book of Acts of Solomon, the chronicler or the compiler of the Chronicles, adheres so closely to the language of Kings throughout the history of Solomon that a comparison at once convinces us that he drew his narrative from the same documents as the earlier compiler, which was referring to the Book of the Acts of Solomon. But he actually lists his sources. Here's what's cool. In 2 Chronicles 9, verse 29. And I quote, "Now the rest of these acts of Solomon, first and last, are they not written in the book of Nathan the prophet? And in the prophecy is Ahijah the Shilonite. And in the visions of Iddo, Iddo, the seer against Jeroboam the son of Nebat." So the book about Solomon consisted of the writings of these three prophets: Nathan, Ahijah, and Iddo. It's not Iddo, but it's Iddo. And the Cambridge Bible says this as well. The Book of the Acts of Solomon comprised three works written by prophets contemporary with Solomon, in which embraced the whole period of his reign, were naturally soon gathered into one treaty and called by one collective name. So I'm talking about the sources used by the compiler of the former prophets, including the Book of Acts of Solomon, which relied on source material written by prophets who were right there with Solomon. So these God-inspired men, they gathered this material to make a bigger thing to look at than that was used in composing the former prophets. And so the process was much more thorough than mere oral tradition. The history was recorded much the same way we write history today. There was one huge, tremendous difference. What we're reading and we're going through in the former prophets was inspired by God. Now, the second of these three sources, which is the Book of Chronicles and the Kings of Judah, has an interesting similar story. The material it covers includes the reign of Rehoboam, that's in 1 Kings 14:29. Yet the source material for that history is cited in 2 Chronicles 12:5, includes the book of Shemaiah the prophet, and again Iddo the seer. So Iddo the seer contributed to that volume as well. Do we know anything about Iddo? Well, have you ever heard of him? I think he made tennis shoes, right? I'm kidding. You should, because he's one of the sources of the former prophets. The word seer was replaced by the word prophet. Later, God-inspired men combined these two books about the history of the kings of Judah with others, including some about the history of Israel's kings. That's in 1 Kings 14:19. It says, "Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani, who is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel." That's 2 Chronicles 20:34. Here the book is listed as the kings of Israel, but later was changed to the kings of Israel and Judah. And so yet more details of the history taken from the writings of Isaiah and other prophets of God. And these men, and we're going to see this, kept building their history because of how important that history is. Extremely critical. If only modern Israel valued it so highly. Now I want to talk about some more of that history, and I think we might get done tonight. We've got time of this overview. King David, we're going to talk about him because we're going to read a lot about him, created offices to ensure all the history that was recorded and preserved. It says in 1 Chronicles 29:29, in the year 29:29. Okay. Now the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and the book of Gad the seer. That's 1 Chronicles 29:29. The men who brought the former prophets and chronicles were educated men. They knew the word of God and God's history and prophecy. They also recorded the history of David. In David's administration, I love watching. Looking at whether it's Moses or David or Solomon. In David's administration, the prophets were the historians. The prophets were the historians. And very few, if any, Bible scholars were except that. One Bible scholar says the prophets and the priests wrote the history. That's not true. Where in the Old Testament do you read about a priest writing a book of the Bible or compiling it or canonizing it? It was done by prophets. Now, the priests had an important job, but they weren't prophets. It says prophets and apostles, and that is where Revelation was for ancient Israel and for spiritual Israel, which is what? The people of God today. That's Ephesians 2:20 and Ephesians 3, verse 5. Now, God did use some priests like Ezekiel and Ezra as prophets. Yet many will say, well, don't give all the credit to the prophets. Well, in 2 Kings 22:4 and verse 14, You see the high priest Hilkiah, some of these names you may say, I've never heard of these before, having to go to a well-educated prophetess to interpret something for them. So God had to reveal it. All truth is revealed. That's the way it's always been. Priests have a role, but it is not that of a prophet. And education was important in these former prophets. Samuel, Elijah, and Elisha were educated men. Their schools were small because the nation wasn't following the godly education. But that history and their regard for the education from God was recorded for us today. As I mentioned earlier, I think it's very probable that Jeremiah tied the former prophets together. But we're not looking, when we study this, for Jeremiah in these books. Who are we looking for? We're looking for God. That's who we're looking for. We're not looking for Jeremiah. God put the history together. Yet people in the world give it names like Hebrew history. Even that could be lessening the truth of God. It is not history of the Hebrews. It's the history of the living God and what he is doing and will do on the earth. The history was arranged, inspired, given insight to be able to compile it, inspired by God himself. And God's trying to educate you and me because what? We have a responsibility, folks, to teach the whole world coming, but what about now by our example? How are we living now? What kind of example are we in our interaction with those that we come in contact with? I'm going to give you another thing to ponder and chew on and think about. Why were you called and many chosen today to do his work, to towering responsibility? And to do that, you need to be educated to teach others. Well, the scripture says, when I stand before the magistrate, if I have to give an answer, God will inspire me. Not if you've never studied it. Or heard it or talked to God. It doesn't work that way. Malachi 3:16, we read that last time or recently. They that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. The Lord hearkened, heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name, his way. His word, his law, his character. And so, in a sense, that even says it will be somewhat of a history book that God has for those who remembered what God taught them. We're here to do a work today, folks. I'm a little tiny part of that. You're a little tiny part of that. We're all a little tiny part of that. But we need to be prepared to do an incredibly, even much bigger work that's coming. I was working on my last great day message for the day number 8 down in Orange Beach, and I finished it. And it struck me. In fact, I'm going to give for the Friday night Bible study with a title on What's Your Appetite? Do His Work. You can't just go home all week, do your job, mow the grass, do the dishes, go to bed, use the restroom, take a shower, and never crack the word of God or talk to him or interact with the world out there and people. That's what the world is, people. And expect to do God's work. We have wonderful material that God gives us to help us with these former prophets. To show us what, and this is what we're going to talk about as well, how to become kings and priests for God. We need to be going, and we will, more deeply into the scriptures, into the mind of God, to better understand what he's teaching us in the former prophets. And I will do my best, and I ask for your prayers to help me in the research, because it takes a lot of time to go through it. He really wants you and me to become kings and priests. He has a job for us to do. I want you to chew on that and think about it. Meditate, muse. My young years in the Church of God, the minister was the person that did everything. We just paid, prayed, stayed, obeyed, and all would be okay. I have never looked at it like that. You and I, each one, have been called by God. Handpicked, selected. What reason? I have no idea why he called me, but I take that calling seriously. And then once we're called to be chosen, we have to do some things, folks, and then faithful. So it's not just, oh, I'm called, I go to church and shake hands, have a potluck, and set the hall up and toodly doodly do. No, it goes way past that. Way past that, and we've missed that. And so we'll go through these former prophets, and what's going to jump out at you, because I'm going to help bring that to the forefront. God has called each one of you and me for a very specific purpose. Some now, we need to develop that, and what that's going to end up in the future. We don't even know. It's not entered into the minds of us what he's prepared completely. So don't say, well, I'm not good at speaking. I'm not good at organizing. I can't remember nothing. Well, what do you dwell on? What do you think about? What do you talk about? What is your example to other people? How do you live? Do they see you and say, wow, I want to be like that person? The former prophets is going to bring out a lot of this for us. So, as they say, stay tuned, and we'll look forward to going through. And again, I encourage you, as we start this series, to start reading the book of Joshua. Be ahead of me. So when I read it, you're like, oh, I already read that. When I comment on it, you're going to say, oh, I already thought about that. Then you can go to sleep, take a nap, right? Okay. And you know what I'd really like to do? Some of you that would love to present one of these on a given set of scripture, I would love to open it up and have some of you do that. Don't all jump at once. But I won't demand it or arm twist or threaten or coerce to do that. I hope you're excited about what we're about ready to go through. You may not have thought about the former prophets like this. I think you're going to like it. And as if you remember the old commercial with Life cereal, give it to Mikey, right? He likes it. So I'm hoping I got a whole bunch of Mikeys here. But anyway, okay, that's it for tonight with the introduction, the overview of the former prophets. Maybe a little different than what you expected, but I want to open it up. We've got a few minutes to for questions or comments from anybody. And if I went too fast, you can go back and listen to the recording. If I went too slow, well, you can speed up the recording. Make a second.
You went just right this time, Scott.
I did it for you, Myers.
I was able to write things down. So I thought it was interesting, the Malachi 3:16. Eric, can you turn that down? Hold on. I'm having an echo.
That's okay. Okay.
I was talking to a friend today. And we were talking about, speaking to one another. Those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. And It's important for us to share that. Can you hear me okay? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's important to share and talk about things with each other. Otherwise, like you said, you get used to just doing your daily worldly things and you're not thinking about what God wants you to think about and learn. This will be a good study. What you talked about tonight was good.
One of the things, I'm just, this is an encouragement for all of us. With everything going on in the world, it's really easy to tune into Satan's wavelength and get really negative, down, upset, angry, frustrated, unsettled, not sleeping well, mad. All you got to do around here is go out and drive in the traffic for about 20 minutes, you know? And in dealing with things, you know, I have a lawnmower battery on my lawnmower that went bad, and it's a long story, but I'm going round and round and round and round with the dealer. And it's like, I just like, it's a whole different world. And we cannot afford to get sucked into that wavelength. You got to fight it. The world's going to be frustrating. That's life. You know, I think about Jesus Christ and his ministry. He dealt with stuff every single day. It was not a time of roses and lollipops and rainbows when he was alive on this earth. Sorry, it was not. But when you listen to him, when he was teaching and talking, what was his approach most of the time? I want to bring you the terrible, rotten, horrible news of how bad it is. He didn't. And I'm not saying it's not hard, folks. I fight the same stuff you do. Not the exact same thing, but you don't want what I have to carry. And we need to get on our spiritual knees and bow our heads before the God of this universe, our Father, and say, strengthen us, help us through this. Help us to be a light, you know, not a spotlight that blinds everybody, that's irritating. Or so dim you can't see, it's useless. Like an old flashlight you turn on that's got just enough light you can maybe see your finger if it's right on the lens. And you keep hitting it, trying to make it work, and it doesn't get better. We don't want to be either way. And it's going to get harder and harder. If we're not connected through the vine and through that spirit, it's going to chew us up and spit us out. And then our adversary is just going to laugh as we get kicked to the curb again. But Christ said, our Father said in Hebrews, I will never, ever, ever, ever leave you or forsake you. But we need to tap into that spirit and reject the other and not just label everybody out there in the whole world as satanic and rotten, because that's not true. We got a battle to fight. What I said Sabbath about the spiritual armor of God. We need that. And we're going to read about that in the former prophets. You're going to see where David and in the Kings and the Judges and in Joshua, they really made some horrible mistakes because they relied on themselves instead of God. And so, hang on to your hats, but make sure you're grounded. If you're not grounded, get grounded. If I can be of help or my wife in talking with you, encourage you, confidentially, happy to do that. Because we're all in this together. I have a saying, it's not funny, but it's true. We're either all going to hang together or we're going to hang separately. I'll let you think about that one. Then there's the old cowboy joke, too. This is for Clark Miller. You know what that one is. No noose is good news. So, anyway, thank you, Kathy. Anybody else?
looking forward to it. I don't have a lot of anything else to say.
I'm glad Joe spoke. I was worried.
Am looking forward to it.
That's good. Okay, let's go ahead and close in prayer. And let me see. Want to take just a minute and make sure I say hi to Mary Hanks and Robert and Sherry over in North Carolina, my mom, the Garretts, the Harris, Carol. I said hi to Bruce. Hi, Bruce, Jackie, and Lorna. I didn't say hi to Lorna. I think I said hi to Harry. Everybody else I got. So, okay, let's go ahead and let me see. Are you reading an email, Eric? Can you close in prayer? I don't want to interrupt you if you're working.
I can close.
Okay,
Ready?
thanks. Please.
Father, we come to you to thank you for the study tonight, for this chance to dig into a section of your word that may or may not be familiar to us. And it's going to be a good refresher for us to go back and see the stories, the history that you preserved. Father, stories of people just like us, flesh and blood. As we're told about Elijah, that he was a man just like us, and the story is he prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years. So we also are in that same frame that he was. And Father, we do look forward to learning from these stories, from the examples that you decided to include in these chapters and these books. Father, we ask you to give us the ability to set aside time, Father, that's so precious for every one of us, the amount of time that we can spend with you each day to do that and more as we see the return of your son coming soon. Father, we pray you'll be with us for the rest of this week, guide and direct our steps, bring us safely into the coming Sabbath and the Bible study next week. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.